She's tall, spectacular in her joy of life, restless, a Shakespearean scholar. She has blue-gray eyes. In short, she's Germaine Greer. And recently, she talked about Stephen Banker in part about her book, The Female Eunuch, and on other aspects of men and women as well.
How have you evolved? Did you start off liberated?
You see, what the situation was that I felt like a freak. I was not like other women. I didn't like other women. I just couldn't bear the way they related to men and the way they treated their own achievements. It seemed to me to be endlessly servile and foolish, self-demeaning. And I learned compassion when I was about 30, I suppose.
2 years ago.
Yeah. It happened quite quickly that I suddenly realized that these were my people, that even though I never had much to do with them, I did maybe have something to offer them. I think one of the things that happened is I got married, and I realized that to be married is to be in bad trouble for a woman like me.
You were married for only a very short period of time, or at least you were married in the sense that you were cohabiting with your husband.
I was married.
Yes, well, I say you're still married, but you're not cohabiting, is that right?
Well, not with my husband, no.
All right. And you have referred to marriage as a kind of prostitution. Would you advise women, the women who are listening to this program, to leave their husbands?
Now, really, how could I do that? You can't advise women to do anything that they're not motivated to do. As far as I'm concerned, you know, women can devise their own modes of revolt within the house and without it. But it seems to me they must realize that marriage is not a proper ambition and that it is a terrible state of affairs where women have to be career spouses. That is an awful situation where they have to be professional in their attitude to their marriage, which is really weird, I think. Is not fair to any of the people involved that a woman should know her own capability in this way. Young women, it seems to me, are less and less motivated to marry in our society, especially...
And you think this is healthy?
Oh, sure. Of course it is. I mean, it's healthy for women to do as they please.
Germaine Greer, you have said that men should be more conscious of their bodies. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I meant was that whereas women make these superhuman attempts to make themselves palatable to others, which actually involve completely phony activities, like suppressing body hair and so on, and worrying about odors so that the ideal female is deodorized almost to the point of, you know, transparency, then instead of women having to carry all this burden of being endlessly palatable and as little else as they possibly can, it's really about time that women were allowed to be beautiful in their own way and that men took a little more care of themselves, because men don't seem to think that a woman suffers from disgust, for example. They seem to think that women should put up with, you know, stubble and bad breath and...
And overweight.
Well, obviously, and all those things. I mean, it never occurs to a man that he ought to make himself pleasing to a woman. And it seems to me that it's about time he realized that she has a capacity for delight, and she is likely to respond to him, not necessarily made up and bewigged and bepowdered, but just healthy and strong with the handsomeness that is his birthright, which he so often throws away because of his foolish habits of smoking and drinking and sedentary occupations that cause his legs to wither and his belly to droop.
One passage in The Female Eunuch that might surprise and interest many of our listeners might be what you have to say about kissing, the kiss in society. Could you summarize that?
My argument there was that there's a tremendous mysticism about the kiss, because it's supposed to be that moment in your developing relationship with a man where you really discover whether he's the man for you or not by the way he kisses you. And whereas for the man, it's a preliminary to something else. I mean, the kiss is just one of the things that, you know, you do on your way, you know, through the erogenous zones to wherever you happen to be going.
It's one rung on the ladder.
Well, I think so. And the terrible thing is, you know, that girls become completely rapt and romantic about a situation which may be basically quite squalid sexually, and a boy who really knows his way around in the petting stakes knows exactly how to operate on this. Not that many boys do. I mean, usually it's a bit fumbling, the whole thing. That's just one aspect of the way in which the sexual sensibilities of the sexes are completely different. I mean, they're just not exposed to the same cultural stimuli. The girls read romance and the boys read stories of sex as adventure and discovery rather than, you know, sex as a mystical experience. The kiss in romantic literature always struck me as a surrogate for sexual intercourse. It was really a thinly veiled sort of paradigm. Now, you know, I don't believe that anymore. I think it's even more wicked in a way, that sexual intercourse is itself a kind of kiss. You know, it's still got that same mystical significance. People are not actually understanding the real meaning of their body language. They really don't know what it is that they are doing to each other. They're still operating in a kind of infantile, narcissistic vacuum where they're pleasing themselves and imagining by some magical osmosis it's being transmitted to somebody else. And this is partly why there's such bitterness between the sexes, because men are outraged to discover that women are unsatisfied, that they haven't been being made love to the right way around, and the women are outraged to discover that the men think they really are God's gift, you know, and that whatever they do is powerful and beautiful.
Thank you very much, Germaine Greer, the author of The Female Eunuch. And this is Stephen Banker in Washington.